This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
New Middle East tensions. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, January 6th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is warning Iraq he will impose sanctions if Baghdad moves to expel U.S. troops.
A crash on the Pennsylvania Turnpike has left at least five people dead. Nearly 100 miles of the interstate was closed at one point.
Australia catches a break from raging wildfires with cool, wet weather, but hazardous conditions return later in the week.
And things to consider as an investor as we enter the new decade.
The global investing landscape is poised to shift over the next decade because of millennials, and the longest-running bull market is about to enter its 11-year this March, and so a lot of portfolio managers are advising clients to still invest into stocks over the next decade.
Jessica Menton at USA Today on investing in the 10 years ahead as boomers pass the torch to millennials. Busy weekend of news involving the U.S., Iran, and Iraq. Most importantly, or most recently, President Trump yesterday threatened Iraq with sanctions if the U.S. is forced to withdraw its troops. His threat came after the Iraqi parliament voted in favor of expelling American forces following U.S. airstrike Friday that killed a powerful Iranian general on Iraqi soil. It's a non-binding resolution, by the way. General Qasem Soleimani was said to be actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members. He was the leader of the deadly Iranian shadow wars throughout the Middle East. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
The intelligence assessment made clear that no action, allowing Soleimani to continue his plotting and his planning, his terror campaign, created more risk than taking the action that we took last week.
Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer was on ABC's This Week.
I really worry that the actions the president took will get us into what he calls another endless war in the Middle East.
Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said the House will move this week to limit President Trump's military actions regarding Iran. President Trump's killing of one of Iran's top military commanders means the elimination of a dangerous U.S. foe, but it also represents a risky escalation in a volatile feud that could backfire on U.S. personnel and allies in the Middle East and beyond. Here to explain is Daniel Lipman, reporter at Politico. Daniel, take us through this.
Well, if you look at, you know, how Iran might respond, they could have a massive retaliation against U.S. interests. And so even though this was something to deter a strike against U.S. forces in Iraq and Lebanon and elsewhere, it could have the opposite effect of kind of not giving the green light to Iran, but forcing them to respond, which would hurt American lives and property.
How much of all of this was the fact that they killed an Iranian military general on Iraqi soil, or is that insignificant here?
I don't think that's highly significant, because I think the more significant part is that Soleimani was an Iranian government official. He was the second most powerful person in Iran, and so that's almost like another country killing the vice president in the States, and so that is why the Iranians are so mad. And this was one of their, you know, principal guys who carried out their foreign policy of, you know, terror and violence in the Middle East.
You said there. You quoted a Middle Eastern official who said that retaliation by Iran could occur anywhere. Meaning what?
Well, anywhere Iran has intelligence operatives and, you know, militia leaders. And so, if you look at Latin America and Africa and throughout the Middle East, then I think they're activating their operatives to get ready to strike when they want to. And so, and then that kind of becomes a tit for tat, and so it could quickly escalate into a war that Trump does not want.
Is it? Is my understanding? Did you say it in your story? We've had a target on this guy's back really since like 06, the Bush administration.
Yeah, this guy has been in his current role, as head of the Quds Force since the late 1990s, and so since that time, he's been on our radar, on the U.S. radar, and I think the U.S. has been tracking him for the last few years as well. Recently, he's just been brazen in terms of just showing up anywhere he wanted. He kind of embraced his celebrity status in Iran, and so that made it easier to target him.
Mm. We're speaking with Daniel Lipman, White House and Washington reporter for Politico. His piece is called "Trump Takes Massive Gamble with Killing of Iranian Commander." Also, you said his death is likely to have deep implications in Iraq and other countries in the region, just because Iran has so many tentacles there.
Yeah, I think Iran has lots of influence in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Lebanon, kind of the list goes on, in parts of Qatar. And so they've built up their power, and that they're going to project that when they want to. It occurs at a time of maybe the U.S. might go after Iranian oil interests, or at least kind of target them more. And so for the past few years, we've had a very sanctions-focused policy, but now this becomes a hotter war right now.
Yeah. And then finish up with, you said at one point, many Iraqis are sick of Iranian influence in their country.
Yeah, if you look at the huge protests of Iraqis over the last year, they're just tired of how Iran seems to control their country in many ways. And so they are asking for their own government to eliminate corruption and to kind of have a more sovereign government instead of being kind of under the Iranian thumb. They, like any people, they want to rule themselves.
Thanks, Daniel. Daniel Lipman, White House and Washington reporter at Politico. 12 minutes now after the hour. At least 5 people have been killed and dozens injured in a massive crash that shut down almost 100 miles of the Pennsylvania Turnpike in both directions. Turnpike spokesman Carl DeFabo said an 86-mile stretch of the highway east of Pittsburgh was shut down after a chain reaction crash that involved 2 tractor trailers, a tour bus, and passenger vehicles. The crash occurred at about 3:30 in the morning yesterday. The tour bus was headed from northern New Jersey to Cincinnati. State Trooper Stephen Lamani.
The bus was unable to negotiate a corner. That bus went up an embankment, rolled over, and then was subsequently struck by 2 tractor trailers. Another tractor trailer came and collided with those 2 tractor trailers.
The speed limit in the area is 70 miles an hour, by the way. The roads had been treated for light snow, but the conditions seemed fine. It's a curvy stretch of interstate in the mountains. Photos from the scene show the bus on its side, along with battered FedEx and UPS trucks with packages scattered on the highway.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Australian officials today are getting a break from deadly wildfires that have killed 25 people across the southeast part of the country. They're in a rush to reopen blocked roads and evacuate people who have been trapped for days. Reuters says a second day of light rain and cool winds brought some relief after fires fed by a heat wave tore through 2 states over the weekend. But officials warned the hazardous weather conditions were expected to return later in the week. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said nearly 4,000 cattle and sheep have been killed as a result of the fires.
The critical issue going forward will be the disposal of carcasses, which obviously presents very serious health issues as we've seen in other disasters.
More than 19.8 million acres of land have so far been destroyed in the current fire season, nearly the size of the state of Maine. Authorities redoubled their efforts to provide supplies and repatriate thousands of people who've been trapped by fires in coastal towns for several days. This portion of the program is brought to you by Stamps.com. Let's face it, most New Year's resolutions are hard to keep, but here's one that's easy to keep. Stop wasting time going to the post office and instead use Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can do anything you do at the post office right from your computer. Plus, Stamps.com gives you big discounts on postage. Whether you're a small office sending invoices or an online seller shipping products, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just hand it to your mail carrier or drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. Plus, with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. It's no wonder over 700,000 small businesses already use Stamps.com. So give yourself a resolution you can actually keep this year. Stop going to the post office and instead go to Stamps.com. There's no risk. And with my promo code Gordon, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments, no contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Gordon. That's Stamps.com, and use the promo code G-O-R-D-O-N. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, an Iranian general who replaced the leader killed by a U.S. airstrike in Baghdad is vowing revenge as Tehran abandoned the remaining limits of its 2015 nuclear deal. Ismail Ghani's threat comes as the blowback over the U.S. killing of a top Iranian general mounted, with Iraq's parliament calling for the expulsion of U.S. troops. Republican Senator Marco Rubio spoke with CBS.
Soleimani was a threat. He was not there on a diplomatic visit. He was there on a terrorist mission.
Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren was on NBC.
Look what he's doing now. He is taking us to the edge of war. We've been at war for 20 years in the Middle East. And now he's talking about expanding that war.
Meanwhile, President Trump insists Iranian cultural sites are fair game for the U.S. military, dismissing concerns within his own administration that doing so could constitute a war crime under international law. He also warned Iraq he would levy punishing sanctions if it expelled U.S. troops. Number two, Australia's government says it's willing to pay whatever it takes to help communities recover from deadly wildfires that have ravaged the country. Prime Minister Scott Morrison says the government is committing an extra $1.5 billion toward the recovery effort, in addition to the tens of millions of dollars that have already been promised. Morrison's announcement came as authorities said two more people were missing in remote parts of New South Wales. Number three, Mississippi prisons remained on lockdown yesterday as officials sought to reassert control in the correctional system after eruptions of violence over the past week left five inmates dead. The state corrections department says conditions in the prisons are stable and officials are being very mindful and watchful. Investigators are trying to determine the causes of the violence, some of which was gang-related. From the NFL playoffs, Russell Wilson threw a 53-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf, and Marshawn Lynch had a rushing score as the Seahawks beat the Eagles 17-9 in Philadelphia. Wilson threw for 325 yards and led the team with 45 yards rushing.
The goal is bigger than just this one game. Let's see if we can, you know, strike magic again next week. That's the reality.
Earlier in the day, the Vikings blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter before Kirk Cousins hit tight end Kyle Rudolph for a 4-yard touchdown on the first possession of overtime to give the Vikings a 26-20 victory over the Saints.
I don't know if it was pass interference or not, but that was a healthy separation move that Kyle Rudolph made to catch that pass.
Can't stand the NFL overtime. It's awful.
23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. The investing landscape is about to change. Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today, says as the longest-running bull market enters its 11th year, some portfolio managers are advising clients to stay in the stock market. Jess, explain.
The global investing landscape is poised to shift over the next decade because of millennials, and the longest-running bull market is about to enter its 11th year this March, and so a lot of portfolio managers are advising clients to still invest into stocks over the next decades because a series of trends when you're looking at an aging population, smart technology, and automation are expected to continue to fuel returns in the coming years, and a big part of that is because of the shift when you're looking at millennials. They'll basically be approaching age 50 when they exit this next decade at 2030, while the tail end of baby boomers will be reaching retirement age. And that shift changes how much millennials will be holding in wealth. And so by 2030, millennials are expected to hold about five times as much wealth as they do today. And when you're looking at millennials, they're expected to, with more young adults buying big ticket items like houses and cars, that's expected to reshape a lot of industries when you're looking at technology or e-commerce. And that's really supposed to help demand when you're looking at credit demand or economic growth going forward.
We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. She's written about where to invest in the decade ahead as boomers pass the torch to millennials. I thought that part of your story when I saw the headline initially was going to be along the lines of, as say baby boomers age and they need to sell stocks to say, you know, required minimum withdrawals or distribution or, you know, have that money to live off of, that that was going to lower stock prices. And that's why millennials should keep buying. But I don't know, is that at all a factor in any of this?
Not necessarily in this. I mean, that it could be some sort of effects that happen there, but really it's more just as far as with more boomers retiring, there's going to be this huge change of wealth when you're looking at millennials and how much they're going to own for that. And the fact that a lot of them, I mean, clearly when you're looking at debt and millennials, a lot of them have been straddled with that when you think of student loans and how some of them it's been harder to try to get a loan for a house and different issues like that. But because they're going towards this different shift in the next decade where a lot of them will be in their 40s, most of those loans should be paid off by then, and it can help them as far as taking out new credit to for either auto loans and housing and how that can shape those sorts of industries. And that's really supposed to help propel the economy forward.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Every year, we make resolutions. Eat healthier, get to the gym, get your finances in order. This year, make a resolution you can actually keep. Earn more money. The Wealthfront Cash Account makes it effortless to earn more on your savings so you can be proud of your financial decisions in 2020. With the Wealthfront Cash Account, you earn more interest on your money. They have one of the highest interest rates in the market at 1.82% annual percentage yield. That's 18 times more interest than the national average of 0.1%. With Wealthfront, you can save, plan, invest, and get financial advice all in one place. Right now, you can sign up for the Wealthfront Cash Account in less than 5 minutes by visiting wealthfront.com/Gordon. Go to wealthfront.com/Gordon and start earning 18 times more interest on all your savings. That's wealthfront.com/Gordon. Wealthfront is not a bank. Cash Account is offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Wealthfront conveys funds to partner banks who accept and maintain deposits, provide the interest rate, and provide FDIC insurance. The APY is subject to change.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, January 6. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump threatens Iraq with sanctions if U.S. troops are expelled. Pelosi wants the House to limit the president's war powers. Five dead, dozens injured in a crash on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The sex crimes trial of Harvey Weinstein is set to begin today. Alabama's injured quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, decides today whether to go pro or stay another year in college. Best Drama Award at the Golden Globes went to 1917. Rise of Skywalker tops at the movies this weekend. And the global knitting frenzy inspired by Australia's wildfires. Hear what people are making in about 20 minutes. But there's a new breed of retailer, the closer. They're part of a nomadic segment of workers thriving amid industry chaos. Last year, retailers announced plans to shutter more than 9,300 stores. That's a record. Liquidation companies that help close stores report that they are busier than ever as consumers shift more of their spending online and Amazon.com continues to reshape the landscape. Many expect more fallout. More on what the closers do from Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Chip, what have you found here?
This is a career that I think is largely invisible. I think a lot of us wouldn't even realize it exists, but there are a group of employees who go around the country from one dying store to the next, helping to wind down these locations as they go out of business or as retailers shut certain locations. It's kind of a fascinating profession. They say that they're very much in demand right now. Their skills are needed as retailers close a record number of stores.
Wow, that's retailers, I presume, who are struggling in malls. I mean, the economy's good, right? These are generally mall-type outfits.
It's mall outfits. It's a range of different companies. And so, you know, you can think of, you know, big retailers just over the past couple of years that have closed a number of stores. Think about Toys R Us or Payless Shoe Source or Gymboree, you know, some big names out there. But these are also people who work at, say, family-owned stores. I talked to somebody who worked at an Ace, who was closing an Ace Hardware location in New York. He closed four stores last year. He's closed 90 stores to date. He says this is very much a recession-proof career, and he says, you know, his services are needed across the country.
Wow. All right. This guy, Jerry Robertson, you spoke to. Is he perceived by someone as like the Grim Reaper? Like, what is it like?
Well, yeah, I asked him, you know, do people see you as the angel of death? You know, once you arrive, it's bad news. And he says they really don't. People, I think, once he gets to the stores, people realize the store is closing, and it takes about, you know, 7 to 8 weeks to kind of get all the merchandise out of the stores. And it's a really kind of interesting job because it's emotional work. He's working with employees and managers and store owners that are losing their livelihoods. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he has a job to do of clearing the merchandise out of there. So it raises all these sticky situations, all these difficult problems. He's got bargain hunters coming to him all the time trying to negotiate over the goods. So say something's 50% off, they might want it for 75% off. He's got to balance all of that. So it's a tricky job, and it takes a certain personality to really do it.
And as part of that, you said kind of executing this massive sale takes operational know-how. Like what?
Well, it takes someone who knows retail and it kind of has a gut feeling for how a sale is going. So a lot of people who are doing these jobs are retail veterans. So Jerry used to manage stores for Walgreens in Texas and Florida. I talked with somebody else who managed big box chains across the country. So a lot of the people doing this work, they really understand retail. They know kind of the rhythms of stores. They understand when they might need to bump discount prices up even more. They know how to train workers. And so a lot of the people who were on the retail side are now have jumped to the other side. Now they're working on the kind of closing end of all this.
We're speaking with Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece about how some of these guys are part sales guru, part therapist. They're this new breed of retail worker traveling the U.S., shuttering locations and liquidating merchandise. You referenced, too, these guys occasionally run into a manager who doesn't want to sell something dirt cheap. How does a guy like Jerry talk these guys off the ledge?
Well, so it oftentimes becomes an issue where an owner will say, you know, we're selling that item for less than it costs to buy it. Why does that make any sense? And Jerry tells them, you have to forget about cost at this point. We've got to think, what will a consumer actually pay? What could we get for this item right now? He says, we might be able to sell it for $10 right now, or in 2 weeks it's going to end up in the dumpster. And he says that is not a situation anyone wants. So he tries to approach them from that angle. But there's a bunch of kind of sticky situations that come up as part of this work. Jerry said at one of the stores he was closing, he asked to see the owner's mailing list because he wanted to send some of their longtime customers postcards. It turned out that nearly everyone on the mailing list was dead. He told me this story where he was just going down the list and the owner said, you know, that person's dead, that person's dead. And so, you know, Jerry just kind of had to figure it out. And I think that's kind of what it takes. It takes kind of someone who's able to kind of go with the flow, be able to kind of deal with these surprises as they come up.
Wow. interesting parallel between his customer base being dead and the store being dead.
Well, that's right, and you know, surprisingly, he's still fairly upbeat about retail. He still likes being in the stores, and he's certainly optimistic about his own job prospects going forward.
Wow. So, how does he get assignments? How does that work?
Well, so he works for he works as an independent contractor for one of these liquidation companies, and oftentimes there's a number of them out there, and companies, retailers that are going out of business will oftentimes hire someone on because it really takes a different type of skill to close these stores, and so he gets his assignments that way. It's oftentimes word of mouth. Someone has closed a store, had a good experience, then calls him for something else.
Thanks, Chip. Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you can't fault residents for calling police after they thought they heard a woman screaming for help in a neighborhood in Florida. Thankfully, it wasn't a human in distress, but rather a playful parrot making the noise. Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputies paid a visit to the Lake Worth Beach home of Rambo, a 40-year-old parrot who was heard screaming the words, "Help me and let me out," last week. Rambo's owner told the deputies he taught his pet to scream "let me out" years ago when Rambo lived in a cage.
Could you imagine?
So this has been happening a lot lately, it seems like. We had one of these stories a couple months ago about in an apartment someplace, yeah. There was a parrot or another animal sort of making screaming noises and someone calling the cops. So
right.
Every once in a while this happens.
Wow. So if you're police, do you scold the parrot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The parrot's probably older than they are, right? I did a double take. I forgot that parrots can live that long. The parrots are 40 years old, which is kind of crazy.
Parrot's texting his friends. Hey, guys, watch this. Watch this. Yeah, what I do. Watch the police come here.
Exactly. What are they going to do? What are they going to do to me? I'm a parrot. Come on. And if you're back after a long holiday break and you feel like you need a vacation from your vacation, well, you're not alone. A new study reveals that, on average, we waste a full day of our vacations on things like waiting in line and worrying about work. We also spend a lot of time figuring out what to do while we're on vacation and worrying about what other people we're traveling with want to do. And of course, again, if you're heading to an amusement park, you're spending plenty of time waiting on lines.
Yeah. That is the worst. Yes. Spend all that money to get into a park and just stand online.
Yes.
I mean, unless you're inexperienced, you know, to use FastPass and all these other different things. Yeah.
Yes, I'm headed to Disney myself in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
And there's been a lot of advanced planning because, as everyone around here knows, Jennifer especially, when she sees me in the cafeteria, there's nothing I hate more than waiting on a line.
Yeah.
Even if there's like two people in front of me waiting for breakfast, I will go do something else or go buy something else so I do not have to wait on a line. So when I go to Disney, there's like 6 months of advanced planning just so I do not have to wait on lines.
I'm an extremely patient person.
Yes.
But not with lines at amusement parks. Not when I've paid to get in.
Yes.
And then have to stand.
So you're the person that I see at Disney when we go who's just kind of standing around looking around like, what do I do next? Like, you know, like there's always a lot of people kind of sitting around because they don't want to wait on the lines.
Yes.
Like they let like their family members go wait on the lines and you're probably kind of more just kind of walking around and that kind of thing.
I would rather, if you told me to get there at 7 or 8 a.m. when it opened, if I had to sprint from attraction to avoid it, I would do that.
Yes.
I would spend my day running Disney World so I didn't have to wait in line.
That's right.
If that worked.
Doing that exact same thing in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GORDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. When you sign and date legal documents this new year, it would make sense to shorten 2020 to just 20, wouldn't it? Well, apparently not, according to law enforcement. Many police are warning this is a bad habit, and it could put you at major risk of fraud. The problem stems from the ease at which the year 20 can be changed to any date from the last two decades. For example, if you write 04/01/20, that could easily be changed to 04/01/2017, giving scammers a chance to defraud you. Hamilton County, Ohio, and police departments across the country have been echoing the warning on social media. Another example from CNN, let's say you sign a credit contract, an agreement between a borrower and a lender, and date it 1/4/20. Say you then miss a month or two of payments and the lender goes to collect a debt that's owed. Theoretically, they could add 19 to the end of that date and argue that you owe more than a year's worth of payments. Bottom line, when you write a date on a document, don't shorthand the year 2020 to just 20. Write out the whole thing. It's only an extra two digits. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, Iran says it's ending its commitment to limit enrichment of uranium as part of its 2015 nuclear deal with world powers. More fallout from the U.S. strike that killed Iran's top general. State television reported that Iran will no longer abide by the deal, which restricted nuclear development in exchange for the easing of crippling economic sanctions. On ABC, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo defended the Trump administration's actions.
We're going to respond against the actual decision makers, the people who are causing this threat from the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer told ABC the president has made a mess of foreign policy.
North Korea, they're much stronger than they were when he started. In Syria, he messed up. Every encounter he has with Putin, he loses. And so I am really worried, and that is why Congress must assert itself.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will introduce and vote on a war powers resolution this week to limit Trump's military actions regarding Iran. Number two, five people were killed and dozens injured in a multi-vehicle crash on the Pennsylvania Turnpike early yesterday. The crash occurred around 3:40 a.m. east of Pittsburgh and involved a tour bus, three tractor trailers, and a passenger car headed westbound. The bus hit an embankment on a downhill curve and rolled over. Trucks then crashed into the bus. About 60 people were taken to area hospitals. Number three, the 77th Golden Globes were meant to be a coronation for Netflix. Instead, a pair of big screen epics took top honors on NBC last night as the World War I tale 1917 won Best Picture, Drama, and Quentin Tarantino's Los Angeles fable Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won Best Film, Comedy, or Musical. The wins for 1917 were a surprise, besting such favorites as Marriage Story, the leading nominees with six nods, and Martin Scorsese's The Irishman. Meanwhile, Ellen DeGeneres was honored for achievement in television.
All I've ever wanted to do is make people feel good and laugh, and there is no greater feeling than when someone tells me that I've made their day better with my show.
And Tom Hanks was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Very nice. Thank you, Jennifer. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Knitting needles are clicking furiously around the world to create hundreds of protective pouches and blankets for native wildlife made homeless by Australian wildfires. Reuters says the Animal Rescue Craft Guild has been flooded with offers of help after putting out a call for volunteers to make bat wraps, joey pouches, birds' nests, possum boxes, koala mittens, and other snuggly homes for marsupials. Donations to the volunteer-run group have come in from as far afield as the U.S., Britain, Hong Kong, France, Germany. Some experts estimate the number of animals killed at half a billion. That includes domestic pets and livestock. There are potentially hundreds of thousands of injured and displaced native wildlife. Many of the crafters have crocheted, knitted, and sewed a range of items, including koala mittens for burned paws and pouches for infant joey kangaroos who have lost their mothers. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.